This reading is taken from Matthew 5:13-16. Salt and light. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. This is the word of the gospel.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Sandra. And if you've got a physical Bible or a Bible on your phone or a tablet, then keep that in front of you. And let's pray. We've just said this is the word of the Lord. And we want to be men and women, boys and girls, who listen to you, our Lord, our Saviour. So please be speaking to each of us this morning through what Jesus said on the mountainside a long time ago, but which we believe is your word to us today. So please be speaking it, helping us to understand, helping us to see where in our lives there are things that you're addressing, things that we need to trust, things that we need to change. Give us your grace, Lord. Work in us by your word and your spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may know the story of the young police trainee at Hendon Police College in North London who was coming to his final exams and reached the last question. You are on patrol in central London when an explosion occurs in a gas main in a nearby street. On investigation, you find that a large hole has been blown in the pavement, and there is an overturned van nearby. You approach the van, and there is a strong smell of alcohol. Both occupants, a man and a woman, are injured. You recognise the woman as the wife of your chief superintendent, who is currently away on a conference. A passing motorist stops to offer assistance, and you realise that he is someone who is wanted for a number of armed robberies. Just at that moment, the door of a nearby house bursts open. A man comes out and says, "My wife is pregnant, and the explosion has made her go into labour." And another man is crying for help. He's been flung by the explosion into a nearby canal, and he cannot swim. The question concludes, bearing in mind the provisions of the Mental Health Act, describe in a few words what actions you would take. And the young police trainee thinks and then writes, "I would remove my uniform and mingle with the crowd." It's a clever and a funny answer, but that isn't what a police officer is supposed to do, is it? We know that. He or she is supposed to be different from the crowd and to behave differently in a stressful situation. And Jesus makes it clear in what we just had read to us today that the same is true for his people. You are the salt of the earth, he says. You are the light of the world. Two different pictures, one thing in common. Both salt and light stand out. Salt, you can taste it if it's there. And also you think, oh, there's no salt in this, don't you? If you have something it's missing. It stands out if it's there or it's not. Light, similarly, it stands out. The illustration Jesus uses is of a town on a hill. And you'd be walking along on a dark night trying to find your bearings. And, oh, yeah, there's such and such a town over there. I know where I am now. And the darker it gets, the more the light stands out. And in that sort of a way, Jesus is saying that people who listen to him, as we're doing this morning, as the disciples were doing when he first gave this teaching, they've come together, they've responded to his call. Verse 1, they're on a mountainside, sitting down with Jesus teaching them. And he's saying, listen, people who take on board what he says, they will stand out. They will make a really positive impact on the world, but it won't always be appreciated. And just at the end of what we looked at last week, he's warning that if his words are taking root in our lives and they're changing our lives, then we may well have pushback. We may be insulted or persecuted for righteousness. And when that happens, it'll be so tempting to dumb down, to kind of dilute, to be a little less, oh, we don't want to stand out quite so much because we're getting a bit of pressure here. Just like the police trainee, the temptation will be to take up our uniform and to blend in with the crowd. Although, you see, the thing about being a Christian, the difference for Christians and what makes us stand out is not something external. It's not a uniform that you can put on or put off. It's not a checklist of good Christian things to do that kind of make you stand out. Jesus' teaching in this section, it's about who we are. It starts with our character. It starts with what we were looking at last week, his teaching of the Beatitudes, the beautiful attitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, he says. Blessed are those who mourn over their sin. We thought about that last week. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. They will be filled. You see, it's what Jesus is teaching here that will make you and me stand out as we receive it. As we trust his teaching, as we seek God in the way that Jesus says, and then we receive from God his gift of righteousness, hunger and thirst for righteousness, you will be filled, his gift of mercy, that our sins, as we mourn over them, are forgiven by God. And the privilege, Jesus talks about, of being called his children, being a bit like him, reflecting the family likeness. As we receive that gift, it starts inside, but it grows. It will change things in our lives. It'll change not just our attitude, but our actions, so that we become merciful people. We become pure in heart as we continue to seek God. We become peacemakers like our Heavenly Father. That's the difference that Jesus' words will make as we start to listen. They take root and grow in our lives. The internal will become obvious and it will change us. And Jesus is saying, don't dilute any of that. Don't try and dial it back a bit. Be it's a little bit less obviously Christian. Don't, under the pressure, lose any of it. Don't conform and blend in or keep quiet. And the picture he uses is of unrefined salt, which is a mixture of salt and some other things, like rock salt is. And in this picture, over time, he says, well, you know, that what might happen is the salt might lose its saltiness. In other words, the salt itself gets washed out of the mixture, and all you've got left is chalk and rock. No more salt, no more saltiness, no more use for it. Do you see what he says? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. There's a warning here that under the pressure, we mustn't conform. We mustn't dilute or lose the distinctiveness that Jesus is growing in us. And if you think about it, every workplace, every family will have its own culture, its own way of doing things. Certain things are normal. Certain ways of behaving, certain ways of speaking are normal in every workplace, every family, every group of friends. Jesus' followers should stand out because of his beautiful attitudes planted in our lives, growing in us, we will have different ways of speaking, different ways of behaving, different actions. And the pressure will be on to dilute it, to lose it. Perhaps, let me give you a couple of examples. Perhaps the culture at your work or in your family is the casual use of God's name. Oh my. Perhaps that's just normal where you spend a lot of the week. And you start to hunger and thirst for righteousness. You start to be poor in spirit and to seek our God. And your conscience stirs and you think, oh, hang on. I shouldn't be doing that. But the pressure is just to carry on. The pressure is to conform. And we say, Lord, help me not to. Lord, help me. I want to come to you. I want you to change my speech. Just like you've planted in me a changed attitude as I seek you. Or perhaps another example that very widespread is the there might be a culture, a pressure of self-promotion. Of, you know, just making much of yourself in conversation or on social media. There's a lot of it around. And then you read what Jesus says, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Those who have just a realistic a view of themselves, who don't boast about themselves, they're just realistic about themselves, the meek. They are who they are. They're mourning over their sin, not styling it out. And you say, well, that's what Jesus says. There's this huge pressure just to carry on being a self-promoter. But with God's help, I'm going to change. I'm not going to dilute that work he's doing in me. I'm not going to, Lord, help me. Lord, I come to you meek. I come to you admitting who I am and that I need you. I want to live meek. I want to trust you, Lord. Even though it makes me stand out, I don't want to dilute, I don't want to lose it under the pressure of my culture. Do you see what Jesus wants to do in our lives, all of us? I came across a great example of this. You may, last year, some of us, we tuned into this great course, we're using a different one at the moment, we tuned into this course with two Australians presenting it, called Sinner to Saint. And the older man in that video was a man called John Chapman. He started his working life as a teacher. And he would make sure that he got to the staff room early each morning so that he could start the day reading the paper and then be the person, as other people came into the room, he would start the conversation. Because what he found was, if he came in after others, he would always invariably come into a conversation which was negative, where people were moaning, where people were complaining. They'd already got off to a negative start in the conversation, so he made sure he was first, and he set the tone. One day he was on playground duty, and he was doing the duties, and then a member of staff came out and joined him, who wasn't on the rota. And he said, well, you're not on the rota, what are you doing today? And his colleague replied, John, when you're not there in the room, the conversation is vile. And so he'd voluntarily come out for playground duty. You are the salt of the earth, says Jesus. Don't lose it. Stand out for him. Yeah? That's picture one. Picture two, verse 14, you are the light of the world, he says. And Jesus is using this picture of something that stands out, shines out, and is a blessing to other people. You are the light of the world. Hang on a minute. Us? Is that a mistake? If we're the light of the world, if I am, then heaven help the world, we may well be thinking. And Jesus is saying, heaven is helping the world by ordinary people like you, like me, coming to Jesus, starting to listen, and as we do that, that's a light in a dark place to others to come and do the same. And actually, if you think about Jesus' first audience, the disciples that we've mentioned, they'd only just been chosen. They'd got no experience. As we read on in the Gospels, they make all kinds of mistakes. They get all kinds of things wrong. And so Jesus, in saying this to them, he isn't teaching an advanced level that one day they will reach. He's teaching basic level. Because he is the light of the world, he's the light. As you and I come to him and listen to him, and as his word takes root in our lives, we're also light to others. We're saying to others, well, come and join us. We're literally saying that. If we're saying tune into online or come and join us in the room once we're all allowed out again after Easter or whenever it is, we're saying come and listen to this one, the light. And in doing so, we are light. Do you see? Even if we're brand new to Christian things, we can be light by saying, come and join us. Come and join in. And then as we hear, as we start to believe what Jesus says, as we start to follow what Jesus says, then we're receiving light, but we're also passing on light as we live it and as we share it with others, with our neighbours, with our colleagues, with our family, with our friends, with our community. Do you see the vision? Believe it or not, you and I are the best hope for the community around us, here where we meet, and wherever we live, and wherever we work. We are the best hope that those people have of coming into the light of Christ. Unless we hide it. And Jesus warns about that as well, doesn't he? He says, you could, hypothetically, light a light and put a bowl over it so no light gets out. But no one does that. That's not what a light is for. And so he's saying to you and to me, don't just believe it privately and then try and hide it away in some holy huddle. Christians are to be involved in the world so that others will feel the impact of who Jesus is and what he says and the way he changes us. Verse 16, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. It's living for Jesus, it's speaking for Jesus in all we do, individually and as a church community. The surprise, though, for me at least, as a preacher, is that Jesus doesn't highlight our words, does he? As making the impact. He highlights our good deeds as what leads others to praise our Father in heaven. Of course, words and deeds go together. We want to pass on the news of Jesus and all he's done for us, but what people will notice in my life and in your life, in our life together, for better or for worse, is they'll notice how we are, who we are, how we behave. They'll see our actions. And they should see evidence of blessing and favour from God as his favour rests on us, as his word takes root in our lives, as what Jesus says in the Beatitudes becomes normal about us. They should see us and experience us showing mercy, being peacemakers, forgiving as we've been forgiven, living lives that are pure and that are righteous is a reflection of God. So do they? It's the obvious question to challenge ourselves, isn't it? Do they see that in us? Do they see that in me? Do they see that in you? Do your family, do your friends, do your neighbours see not yet perfection in any of us, but do they see Jesus growing stuff in us? Do they see that emerging in our lives as a reflection of his light that we're receiving? Or is the light hidden behind sarcastic comments, behind an attitude of mockery, behind a grumpiness, a mood, those angry outbursts, behind the moaning? Is that what people see and hear? So they don't actually see the light. It's under a bowl. Have we conformed to the culture where we work or the culture of just the world around us so that we're mingling with the crowd rather than allowing the light of Christ to be seen through us and in us as we continue to seek him and as he continues to change us? Now, I said that speaking and acting go together. It's obvious that they must do. Otherwise, if people do see us do good things, they'll conclude, oh, well, you're a good person. Whereas that's not reality, is it? It's not I'm a better person than my next door neighbour. It's just that I'm someone who is a better person than they would be if they didn't know Jesus. I'm someone in whom he's working. And so if I do something good, I don't want them to think I'm a good person. I want them to say he's a good God. And then the praise goes to our Father in heaven. So there's got to be words. But the key thing that Jesus is emphasizing this morning, for me and for all of us, is it's got to go through to actions. It can't just stop as theory. It can't just stop as what we know from the Bible or what we were taught as children. It's got to be the whole of our lives, through the whole of our lives, changing us into adulthood so that we continue to grow towards being the people who reflect Jesus more and more in our lives and stand out and are more light to others. That's his vision for us. It's no good saying, I'm really grateful for God's mercy. I've got hold of that. That's really great. Thank you, Lord. I've got it. And I'm not going to lose that. I'm not going to give up that under pressure. God's been merciful to me. Wonderful. But I've got it now. Like putting a bowl over it. It's for me. But no, it doesn't work like that. Again, one of those Beatitudes. Jesus said, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. He front loads the action of being merciful and teaches that the two are actually intertwined. You can't receive without giving it. Receiving God's light and being God's light, they go hand in hand. You can't stop at theory. We need to transform life. That's the vision. You are the light of the world, says Jesus. Don't hide it. Shine out for him. One more story to help us to think on this. There was a man at my old church, which I used to go to when I lived in Oxford, called Arthur Casson. He worked as a GP in his working life. When he retired, one of the things he did was he volunteered to go into the Social Security office each week and to go along with a trolley of tea to give to people and to just spend time talking. As a GP, he'd spent a lot of his working life just talking to people. And so he'd give out tea and talk to people if they wanted to. And when the opportunities came, he obviously spoke about his faith in Jesus. No one asked him to volunteer in that way. He just did it because he viewed it as a place where he could be a bit of light in what sometimes is a bit depressing and a bit dark. And right through his life, Arthur Casson was that kind of example. A former member of his youth group spoke at his memorial service and told the story of one time that Arthur was giving him a lift and they stopped at a filling station for petrol. And the petrol attendant said to the boy, if you follow that man, you will get to heaven. And Arthur gently corrected the petrol attendant and said, actually, if he follows the one that I'm following, then he'll get to heaven. Do you see? He didn't want the praise. He wanted it to go to Jesus, to go to God our Father. Let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. It's a whole life consistency where what God's planted in us grows and grows through every part of our life. You are the salt of the earth. So don't lose it. Stand out for Jesus. You are the light of the world. So don't hide it. Shine out for Jesus. Amen.